Now, during this time, there was a great famine that happened in Israel, which forced a family to migrate to a distant country called Moab. Now, their sons married two Moabite women, and one of them was Ruth. But tragedy struck the family, and the husband and both of the sons died, leaving the wife Naomi and her two daughters-in-law widowed. Now, Ruth decided to stay with Naomi, and we end the chapter seeing the women arriving in Bethlehem to find refuge. Now, feeling the overwhelming grief on top of the desperate situation of trying to find food and shelter, Naomi seemed to be reaching a point of despair. Come with me to chapter 1, 20 to 21. "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me." Now, all that has happened was just too much. She lost everything. You know, from her words, you can sense the desperation she was feeling. From someone going through tremendous grief and now facing grim uncertainties for the future. And that has made her bitter. Bitter not only at her own circumstances, but bitter because there was someone who's responsible for it all. "Why did you bring this misfortune upon me, God? Why? Have you failed me? And now, where is your provision? Why won't you provide for me?" Now, for us all sitting here today, can we relate? Well, if I have to be honest, at first glance, it's a little bit hard for me to relate. Because I haven't been personally in that situation. I haven't really been needy of food or shelter in my whole life. Well, the closest experience I can get is when I think back to many years ago, in the city, I was walking past a homeless person, and he was begging me for money. And I had a 50 in my pocket, but I thought it would be too much. And I walked past without giving him much attention. Now, frustrated by my avoidance, he began to beg harder and began to try to grab me, but I ran away, fled the scene. Well, you see, I can see in his eyes, he was desperate, truly desperate. But what made him angry, even beyond that desperation, was seeing someone who could have provided for him, seeing someone who had the ability, walk away without a care. And I presume that's what Naomi was feeling a bit at that moment. Now, I want to take a pause here for a second, because it's easy for us to sit here and think, wow, you know, poor Naomi, right? She's in so much need. And feel bad for her, but it doesn't really speak to me personally, right? Now, before we go on with the story, let me just help us reflect on our world right now. You see, even though I bet most of us here, we're not in great need of food or water or shelter. But there's a need that we have. There's a need that is difficult to explain. Let's see the world around us. What do you see when you look into social media? What do you see when you look at people's excess posts of their selfies and photos? Do you sense perhaps a tiny bit of desperation leaking out? The craving for self-worth and attention, the craving for validation. Do you see people on the road, even after the smallest bit of annoyance, when someone cut them off, they just unleash the anger nonstop, uncontrollably? Do you sense a tiny bit of desperation leaking out, suggesting that of their discontent of their life, and what they go through in life? When you see people spending excessively, traveling, shopping, eating, drinking, do you see the sense of desperation to attempt to feel a momentary pleasure and escape from the discontent and purposeless life. Now, a famous French philosopher named Jean Prosser, I butchered the name badly, but what he said was, man is a useless passion. It is meaningless that we live, and it is meaningless that we die. Wow, that is truly a desperate statement right there. You see, our society's outward expression shows that rich or poor, there's a sense of need that we all have deep down in our hearts. You see, our world is in a great spiritual poverty, purposelessness, discontentment, and addictions. They're all symptoms pointing to the fact that we're empty on the inside, we're hollow. No matter how hard we try to fill in that void by pursuing, nothing seems to bring us that true satisfaction. And that is what drives our world desperate. Now, let me pause there and let's go back to the story. And let's see, for Naomi's case, how does God provide for her and her family? So we read here in chapter 2, verse 2. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the field and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. So firstly, they need a way to find food to survive. And what happens back in the days, in the Jewish tradition, was that when the harvest comes, the harvesters are not to pick up everything that is left to harvest. So they go through one harvest, and there's always leftover grains around. And in the old Jewish laws, God commands the owners, the harvesters, to leave them for those who are in need, so that the widows, the homeless, can come and can pick it up and to be fed for themselves. Now, so Ruth goes and gleans behind the harvesters in this field that she finds. And just so happened, this field is owned by a man called Boaz. Now we read that Boaz is a guardian redeemer. What is a guardian redeemer? Well, these in the Jewish tradition, these are individuals who have the ability and resource to provide protection for their relatives, in particular to preserve their family line. For example, they're responsible for buying back their family land sold during a crisis, or buying back relatives who are enslaved. And they are to provide an heir for a dead husband in their family as well. So the summary, they are protectors and they're guardians for their relatives during difficult times. And Boaz just so happens to be a relative of Ruth's late husband. And he just so happened to be a guardian redeemer. And he just so happens to be in the right place at the right time for this faithful encounter. What are the chances of that, right? Well, the point of the story again is that there's no such thing as coincidence here. Everything happened according to God's plan, and his purpose was to graciously provide for Naomi and Ruth. Now, let's go to verses 8 to 9. So Boaz said to Ruth, my daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along the women. I've told the man not to lay a hand on you, and whenever you're thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled. You see, all throughout this chapter, we see Boaz's kindness overflows to Ruth, as he not only allows her to pick up from his harvest, but he goes above and beyond to provide her with water, with protection. And, you know, he seemed to be such a good man, didn't he? Well, that's true. Not only did Boaz obey God's command, but he shows through action that he really truly cared for the poor widow. He was someone who lived just the way that God wanted his people to be, an instrument of his grace that brings blessings to those around him, even to a foreigner like Ruth. Now, do you seek to be an instrument of God's kindness as well for those who are in need? Do you care for the poor the way that God cares? And is that shown through what you do with your money and your time? I think Boaz here shows a very good example of what it means to be God's people. But at the same time, let's not forget the fact that it's God's kindness and compassion that had never ceased despite Naomi's complaint. He's the one who planned this whole encounter, and he used Boaz to meet the need of the family. And as a result, Ruth, not only Ruth, but also Naomi, received plentiful from this encounter, from Boaz, who cared for their needs. Now, after a long day of labor, Ruth returned to Naomi and told her all that's happened. And you can see even Naomi now, seeing what's happened, began to see what God is doing. So we see this in verses 19 to 20. Her mother-in-law asked her, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she's been working. The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz," she said. "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers. The Lord bless him. The Lord, he has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead." That's true. What she said was true. The Lord was faithful. He remained faithful to Naomi and to Ruth, even when Naomi's faith was tested. God never stopped showing her grace and providence. And later on in the story, we see that God also brings an incredible blessing to the entire family, which is that he showed favor to both the living and the dead. But stay tuned for that, and come back in the next few weeks. We'll explore how this works and how God brought redemption to Ruth and Naomi. But now we can see, even now, how God graciously provided for them. And the story teaches us that God always provides for his people. And it's not based on what we do. He didn't provide for Ruth and Naomi because of what they did, but simply because of who he is. He is gracious. He is kind. He is merciful. And he is all that. And that's why you can trust in him providing for you in your need. Now, then we ought to ask the question, okay, nice story, God provides. He provides for his people. But what about for us? How does God provide for me? Well, we saw before that our world is in great need, and we are in great need. So how does God provide for us? Well, later on in the Bible, we meet another woman. And this woman was interesting because she had a little dark secret. She had five husbands. Well, not too sure what's going on there, but sounds like she's been sleeping around different men. And why did she do that? Well, again, we're not told clearly, but it sounds like she's searching for something. She's longing for something. And it seems like all she's doing, there's nothing that's fulfilling her. Till one day, she met this man at a well. And this man was an interesting man as well. And he came to her to ask her, "Can I get a drink of this water from the well?" Now, she knew that he's a Jew, and normally Jews don't speak to foreigners like her. So she carried on with the conversation with him. And to her surprise, he saw exactly what she needed in her heart. He saw her secret. He knew what she's been doing. But more so, he saw her great need that lies behind everything that she's been doing, what's driving her to do what she does. And this is what he says. "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. You see, why? Why are we in so much need? Well, it's because God created us. He created us for good. He created us to know Him. And yet, we reject Him. We say no to God. We don't want God in our lives, and we cut Him off our lives. As a result, we who are His creation, Him being our source of life, we are left searching for meaning ourselves in the things that are in this world. But what we find is nothing here can truly, truly satisfy us in our need. And the more we search, the more we fail, the more desperate we become. And it all leads to because of sin. Sin, which is us rejecting God, us not wanting God to be in our life. So the man the woman meets, we know his name is Jesus. What is this living water he talks about? Isn't it his very life? As he hung on the cross, the blood he shed for us. The blood shed for our forgiveness in order that we can be made right with God. He died so that we can live. So he died so that our sins can be taken away, so that we can once again be united with God, our creator, our source of life. That is the living water that he offers us. That is the living water he provides for us. So, won't you come today? Those, many of us, I presume, you come in here empty. Let me tell you this, you can be satisfied. You can be full. Because God has provided you exactly what you need in Jesus Christ. He's provided you with a hope that he died for your sins so that you can be made right with God. That in him you can find true purpose. You can find true fulfillment. Not only that, you can have eternal life, eternity with God. Now, of course, many of us here, you know, you've accepted that for yourself. But you might be still feeling something. You might be still longing for something. And let me tell you that it's okay. It's okay to have needs, right? Maybe you're sick and you've been visiting the hospital time and time and time again. And it just never seemed to be a good cure. And it's not getting better. When will God provide me the cure? Well, maybe you're sitting here today and you're longing for a companion. And you know many of your friends are finding girlfriends, boyfriends, that people are getting married. And let me tell you, it is a painful longing to find a companion. When will God provide me that person that I can be with? Maybe you are searching for a job. Maybe application after application, you keep getting rejected. Or you're in this job that you're currently at, you're just not satisfied. And you're just looking. When would God provide me with the right job? Let me tell you, don't dismiss those longings because God cares. God cares to provide for you. And he does want to provide for you. But let's keep in mind that God's way of provision might not be the way that you expect. Right? That job you wanted, that might not be the best. But God knows the best. So let me say, keep trusting him. Keep looking. Look at how he provided for Naomi and for Ruth. Look at how he provided for you in Christ. And just trust that God does care. He hears you. He sees your need. And he's going to provide for you the very best. But it just might not be the thing, very thing you think you need. God knows exactly what you need. And let me encourage you to not turn away. Let me encourage you that if you're feeling the longing is so much, well, look back to Jesus. Because only in him that you can be full, and you can be truly satisfied. Not in anything else that you think you need. But let me encourage you also to pray for it and pray with each other about it, because God does care and he wants you to lean on him. And finally, we saw how God provides for people. How did he do it for Ruth and Naomi? It was through Boaz. It was through his people. Let me encourage us to think about, what does God want you to do? When you see the needs around the world, what's your role in that? Well, the simplest thing you can do, the least you can do, is to look around the desperate world, looking for this true spiritual satisfaction, and to bring them the good news of the gospel. That's what your friends, that's what your family, that's what your neighbors, that's what your colleagues need so desperately. And you can do that. You have the gospel. You can go ahead and tell them that Jesus Christ has died for you, that in him you can be satisfied. In him you can find true life. But the question is, will you do it? We talked about Evangelistic Month coming up. Well, let me encourage you, that's a great opportunity. Who in your life will you ask to come and to hear about this good news? Maybe it's time to start praying about it and to reflect about that. Of course, to reflect about other means as well, your money, your time, how are you using them to provide for the world in need as well. So, will God provide for me? Well, the answer is yes, and of course. You are his people. He loves you. But the question that he's asking you is that, will you trust him? And how will you become an instrument in his provision to others? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your great, kind, and merciful provision that Jesus Christ came into the world. He died for our sins so that we might be forgiven, and that we might be made right with you, and that in you we might find true life, true satisfaction, true purpose, eternal life. Father, help us to be generous. Help us to be generous like you to the world around us. Please use us as instruments of blessing, that we may bring to the world exactly what they need, the gospel of your Son, Jesus Christ. And use us as to provide for the world, whatever else that they need as well, whether it's food or shelter. Make us your people who seeks and longs to live the way that you want us to live. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.